Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is an unbridled and untamed, and I have my brother from another mother.
Yeah.
Mr. Andrew Watkins, dude. How goes it?
It's been a day.
Has it?
Mm.
Dude, I, you know, ever since, like, this weekend is over, it's, that was, like, 4 days. Like, I took off work Thursday, Friday, and then the Stiff Tones, they left Monday morning. After I had gotten up to go to work. And originally, they were scheduled to leave Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering, because, you know, I come and got those tables Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And I saw them was still there, and I was like, oh, they must be finna leave.
Yeah, so Friday night, Sean, the front man, he and I were talking on the porch right before we went to bed. And he was asking me, he was like, so tell me a little bit more about tomorrow. And I was like, well, we're going to have a crawfish bowl. And I invited some musicians to come up, and I had two back out. Tim Higgins still made it. Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
I think Tim's great.
Mm-hmm.
Very unique style of songwriting. And
He didn't sing anything like what I thought.
Yeah. And this is what Monk told me, like, back in Bible study days, his band before he went to do his own thing, he didn't used to sing that way.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
Found his voice?
And that's kind of the way he put it when I was getting to know Tim down there in Greensboro, when I had him on the show to talk to him about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've recently found mine, or what I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, me too, actually.
It's
crazy, because, like, I found out that if I just scream when I sing, it sounds better. I'm loud, but it sounds better.
Same here. I used to
try to do, like, the falsetto thing too much.
Yeah,
without knowing it, you know.
Me too.
Like my own version of falsetto.
Back when me and Levi used to play together all the time, like, I noticed, and he still does it today, but, I mean, we don't really play together. We just send songs back and forth now. I mean, we live 4 hours apart.
Yeah.
But I remember at the latter part of me staying in Mobile and us still making music together, that songs that we used to play in A, he had changed key up to B.
Yeah.
And it was putting a lot of stress on his voice, and you could tell that he was having to project more.
Yeah.
And he was having to work harder, and he couldn't play as long. He'd blow his voice.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after doing that for, oh God, I don't know, 3 to 6 months, he graduated.
Yeah.
Like, he got his voice conditioned. Like, do you ever feel this? Like, you ever listen to, like, you just get on, like, an Incubus kick?
Yeah.
Or, you know, think about somebody else that sings like Brandon Boyd, who is just, you know, really belts it. Maybe Chris Stapleton will make you do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get to singing with them, and you start trying to sing like them.
Mm-hmm.
And do you ever, like, feel it in your chest?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, there's three different ways to sing. You can sing with your chest, your nasal cavity, and you can sing with your throat.
Mm-hmm.
You can be real guttural.
Yeah.
I guess that's what, because I don't know how those metal people do that. Ooh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or as good as they do. I don't understand. I guess that would be like a guttural thing, right?
That's more of a throat.
Is it?
Yeah. You ever listen to throat singing? Like Mongolian throat singing?
I can't say I have.
Pretty interesting. Can't understand what they're saying, but it sounds cool.
Yeah.
And like that kind of throat singing is this almost like the same thing.
Would it be like those
screaming
Gregorian chants?
Or like maybe a little bit. They have there's a heavy metal band. I don't remember their name, but they're a Mongolian throat band, and they're heavy. And dude, and when I heard that is what made me realize, okay, throat singing is kind of like screaming in metal. you don't necessarily, some people do really, really scream like loud, but some don't have to, just to make the noise that they need to make, because you're going to sing it into a mic, so you can turn it up as loud as you need to, and they can adjust during, you know, or while they're singing or whatever, when they practice, I guess.
Yeah.
But like the pig noises and stuff like that is not loud. It's just they're really close to the mic like this.
Yeah.
Where they can hear everything.
Yeah.
So it's like
that. So it's not that it's just.
Yeah. It's not like
this. You're just right here on it.
Yeah. You're up on it.
Right over it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
I like.
But yeah. I mean, that's one thing that I found. I believe it's through doing this podcast.
Yeah.
And just interviewing musicians. And, you know, if you hang out with enough of a certain type of people, I believe that you'll become that type of person,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I just started paying attention, and I just started mimicking some of the things that I saw that I respected.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 6 months ago, like something unlocked for me vocally.
Mm-hmm.
And almost like maybe a give a damn busted. It's like, I don't care anymore. Like,
yeah.
I try a lot harder singing now. I felt like all that time spent before, I was holding back because I was kind of embarrassed to, like, go 100%.
Yeah, well, I think with me, it was not knowing what's going to be there if I try to go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can feel that.
Like, if you're trying to, like, I was scared of if I would get too loud and be off key or off pitch,
mm-hmm.
you know, or off time, you know, whatever it may be. And now I feel songs more when I hear them. Like, I feel the soul in them, which is a curse and a blessing, I think. Because, like, I can feel a song, and I can feel it to its core if it has soul. If it has that attraction that I like, that pulls me to it. And it's aggravating, because I'll be going down the road, and I bet I skip through about 70 songs in a day. Just because I like them. I like, because I used to like them. You know what I'm saying? But I can't hear them no more.
I got songs in my playlist like that. I got them in there just for nostalgia's sake, but it really never because does come up.
There will be that one day within a year.
I'll be honest with you. You know, like,
you'll hear something, and it'll take you back, and then you'll listen to it for a little bit.
That's right.
And then you go right back to trying to find something, mm-hmm. trying to find the next one.
I mean, it's easy like a memory pop up. It just being this time of year.
Yes.
Like, oh, man, spring break. And then it's easy to play a track by Sugar Ray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Endless Summer or whatever, you know.
Or Uncle Cracker.
Yeah, sure. You can go there. Mm-hmm. Little John. Lil Wayne. And that was a very prevalent thing when we were growing up.
I used to like listening to T-Pain.
Even
though it was auto-tune.
That's what I was about to bring up. I never did appreciate anyone who used auto-tune. And what it turns out that T-Pain actually is a pretty good singer.
Oh, he's a great singer. He won that. There's a show comes on
the
NBC.
Masked Singer.
The Masked Singer, yeah. My little girl loves that. Every time. It don't matter who's up there or whatever. She's dancing when they're singing. But T-Pain won it one year. And he could sing, man, he could sing. And that made, actually didn't really, like you were saying, have respect for him until I saw him sing. And
yeah.
I was like, okay. And my thought was that might have been something that they stumbled upon, the auto-tune and what he sounds like on it. And the producer heard it and was like, this is what you're doing every song.
You know, that's going to be a weird thing that, you know, we're going to look back at the 2000s. One day, and it's going to be the classics.
Yes.
And it's just going to be, for that decade, a lot of auto-tune. You know what I mean?
Because
T-Pain started doing it, and how many people? Akon.
A lot of people.
I mean, a lot of people really started doing it.
Like that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of them use auto-tune anyway, and you just can't really tell it.
It's called reverb.
Yeah.
Well, actually, auto-tune's a lot more than reverb.
Yeah, it can.
It's kind of in the same vein.
Make you sound. If you get off just a little bit, it fixes you.
Yeah.
There's some talent out there, though. There's people who don't need no mic singing to be felt in the heart.
Yeah.
I'd listen to Chris Stapleton in an outhouse if that was the case.
Yeah.
He actually is going to be in Birmingham. You want to go?
When?
It's like September.
Possibly.
And he's got one in Birmingham, one in Orange Beach.
Orange Beach would be tighter.
I want to go to both.
to do both. I ain't never seen him live.
I haven't either, but I love every one of his songs.
Might get me a cowboy hat to wear for that show, huh?
I got a plaid button up you can wear.
I got some plaid.
Not like this, you don't.
Get some cowboy boots.
It's your belt buckle.
Oh yeah, now we're talking. But anyway, just back to Saturday, man, is that Friday night before, Sean, he was, you know, what's the plan? I said, well, I mean, it's, the ball is in your court. What time are y'all planning on leaving tomorrow? And he's like, well, if you're going to do a crawfish bowl, we figured we would stay and wake up and leave Sunday morning. I was like, okay, that's fine. And he was like, we were talking earlier, before you came out, that we were going to put the yurt up, which is the equivalent of like a circus tent.
Mm-hmm.
Smaller version. And it's nice, too. Did you go in it?
Mm-mm.
You could stand up in there. It's kind of roomy. It's nice.
Yeah. It did look pretty cool.
Yeah, we spent, after everybody left Saturday night, I mean, we spent the rest of the night out there. We brought all the guitars out there and was just hanging out in the tent.
Yeah, that's a big tent to do it.
That was seven of us in there comfortably, you know.
Yeah.
You can put and that's what he said. He's like, we're going to bring the Rock and Roll Circus to your backyard. And I was like, what do you mean? He said, do you mind if we amp up? Because at first we weren't even going to use amplifiers.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, if that's what you want to do, let's do it. And we spent all day Saturday, you know, setting the stage. They got that tent set.
I had a lot of it set by the time I got there. I got there at like 12:30.
Yeah. You can attest to this. I mean, if you were a big part of the day being successful, was at about 10:30, and I don't get anxious or nervous much, but I was a little bit of a nervous wreck. And then I left and I went to go get the crawfish. And I was just telling myself, you know, the whole time up there to Gordo and back, Chuck Tant is that guy's name. Use that guy. He's got great crawfish.
Yes, they're huge.
Yeah, it was some of the biggest crawfish I've ever seen in my life. Which was weird because the season's about to be over. They usually get smaller, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
But anyway, the whole way there, whole way back, it's like, dude, it's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna work itself out. You know, don't stress over it. Whatever's gonna be is gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
And Cole's running late. It just feels like just everything's against us. And then, you know, 3 o'clock, I told people we were gonna eat.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 o'clock, and we don't even have the boiler going. And, you know, Jake comes through with a burner because the burner that we had wasn't going to work. And so by, you know, 4 o'clock, we finally got water beginning to boil. No music yet. And it's fine, though. I mean, everybody's just kind of hanging out.
We was out there playing wiffle ball.
Yeah, throwing football.
Watching. Yeah. I was watching your nephew and that other Jake's kid.
Paul?
Fight. And I was watching it, and that was entertaining.
Those two kill me.
When Jessica got there, she sat down beside me and said, we're on about round 12 right here. I said,
I bet
Kellen's got a mean sling down game.
I bet she sees it every day.
Oh, yeah, probably. I don't know if they did it that much at school. She'd tell me if something like that happened.
Probably can't get away with it.
I don't know. She teaches kindergarten, too, so
yeah.
Not a whole lot of kindergartners are going to be fighting.
That's true. It comes out in first grade.
Yeah. That's when it hits the fan.
But yeah, we had wiffle ball and football, and it was just community. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I had really been wanting to see, and I was glad it happened in my backyard, especially, you know, coming out of the mulligan year of 2020, is, man, just human-to-human interaction. You know, I've been to a couple of music festivals in 2020, the Grammy party for Jimmy Duck Combs, and, you know, it was probably 150 to 200 people.
Yeah.
Black, white, red, yellow, all believe different things. Probably believe different things politically, but none of that seemed to matter because we were all there for the same reason, to enjoy music and eat, break bread.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple concept, and it works every time.
Yeah.
Just like it worked out there. Hey, I want to feed you, and I want to play you some music.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, what time, you know?
Yeah, it was definitely, it was fun.
Yeah.
Do we ever get all the balls off the top of the house?
No, there's, and the thing about that is, like, there's probably still balls left on top of that roof from when I was a kid, because we got a lot of balls stuck up there then, you know?
Hmm. We had to go get it.
Probably go up there. Ain't no telling what you'll find.
That blitz ball or something else. You see, you play with that? That blitz ball?
Was that the green ball?
Yeah, the one that looks like a honeycomb.
That thing got knocked on the roof quick.
Yeah, it's like honeycomb looking all around it, and you can throw a curveball that breaks 4 foot. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I bet those kids were having a hard time with Trey pitching.
Uh-huh, yeah. Fancy rolls or nothing.
The only thing about that drum set is it's recording. I don't have any cymbals, and currently I don't have a snare, so
well,
it'd be a little difficult to do.
I'm gonna get you a snare for your birthday.
I've been meaning to get the rest of it assembled since I got it. It just, I got so much money I set aside, you know, each payday.
You just need to bring them over to my house.
Yeah, and just forget about them.
You can come play them anytime you want. you know where the key's at. If you don't, I'll show you.
Yeah, we'll probably end up doing that just to get kind of tired of having them in this room, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, it takes up a lot. It's a drum set, but they're pretty.
I've been playing
on them a little bit. Pearls. Not them, but I've been playing drums a little bit, trying to get a little better. And it's not as hard as I thought it was going to be, but it still ain't easy.
I ask you this. This reason why I set it up in this room is because I'm in here all the time. If I didn't have that guitar laid out right here where it is, let's say I put it up in its case.
Yeah.
After each time I played it, it'd stay in the case.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just who I am. Like, personality-wise, yeah. It's like, look at these books. Like, if I'm not intentional about, like, putting a book on my nightstand,
yeah,
it won't get read.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'll just sit on the shelf, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I've got to be very intentional, like, with what I do, you know.
You want a guitar hook?
Sure.
I got an extra one. It's sitting in my floor of my bedroom.
That'd be ideal for right there.
That's what I'm saying. You can hang it up right there, and then it would be out of the floor. Anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's...
What we can do is we can string some cable across the top. We use a hoist pulley. Raise the drums up. They're out of the floor.
I'm down with that. Yeah,
we can do it.
Raise them up. Yeah, totally. We'll make this room look show enough wild.
So much room for activities.
Yeah, so much room for activities. Oh, but man, here it is Thursday, and man, I'm still thinking about the weekend. That is if you would have told me, and Cole said it that day, he's like, if I would have told you that you would be doing this 3 years later after starting a podcast, that you would meet these people through having a podcast who you had no business meeting.
Yeah.
And you would be throwing a festival for friends and family, and then for them to actually show up, as many as they did. I didn't expect that many people to show up.
Yeah, that was a good number. It's a good number.
Yeah, Sean, he's like, how many people are you expecting? I was like, I mean, I've invited like 100 people, but realistically, I mean, it might just be us. Yeah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. And he's like, I know what you mean, man. Yeah. That's just how it works.
Yeah, he knows. Definitely. As much as they told me, we was talking about how much they've been traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they know. They got experience.
Well, man, I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, what's going on just right now in the world. Like, we got a stinking gas shortage right now?
I don't believe it.
You don't believe we do?
I mean, the only reason they're out of gas is because people freaked out and went and bought it.
Well, no.
It's a supply and demand thing. If the demand doesn't go up, the supply won't either.
But you got to have it.
But you got to have the gas, but the supply is full. So it's kind of like toilet paper
in this regard?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. They say the pipeline got hijacked by...
Russian people.
Yeah, we blame everything on Russia. Why not?
Yeah.
They
said they're going to have to shut down for a week.
Yeah, and it's going on today's day 5. I think. Yeah. Wait, 6. I think it happened last Friday. What's crazy to me is, like, I read a lot of news. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I read a lot of news. And CNN Business called this on April 28th, exactly like 10 days before it actually happened. They called a shortage on gas, and then the cyber attack happened on that pipeline.
Huh.
And, I got friends that work at, like, Chevron down in Pascagoula.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's legit. There is a short.
In that area, or?
Well, I mean, it's that whole pipeline. It's the whole southeast.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's more and more, though.
I mean, 17 states have already declared a state of emergency.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I was looking at the stats. Like, we're good right now. Alabama had 2.09% of their gas stations being out of gas. Mississippi had, like, 1.89, and I might have those two states flip-flop. Georgia and North Carolina was the worst two this morning, and I'm sure it's only gotten worse.
Yeah.
And a lot of the podcasts I was listening to today, they were all reporting what I just told you, that North Carolina is quickly running out of gas. I mean, and you know, you want a way to totally cripple an economy? Try going to work on just walk, especially like think about us.
I got a horse.
Well, you're going to need new shoes after that one. It'll be a hell of a ride.
Yeah, well, I would camp out all week and then come home on Friday. I'd just take my hammock and all the stuff I need. And I would, PACCAR's sitting on 400 acres. And ain't all 400 acres got a building on it.
I ask you something.
I just go out in the woods and
it's like
camp.
What are these people doing? Are they just on their lunch break? Is like, you know, the frontage road?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there'll be people just parked, like, all around PACCAR, just right off that frontage road, like, at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing? They just on break?
Yeah. About there in the morning or in the afternoon?
In the afternoon.
Yeah, they're on their smoke break.
Okay, and they have to leave the property?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was like, why do they always just get right off property? Now, that makes sense now.
Yeah, they got to, because it's a tobacco-free facility.
Yeah.
What did I talk to you about when you first walked in? Or what was the first thing we started talking about today?
When I came in?
Yeah. And we come back here. I said we was talking about something. Can't remember. Oh, wild lettuce.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Let's go.
Do you know what wild lettuce is?
I don't.
You don't.
Well, I mean, what is this? We're talking about the ganja?
No. Like, actual wild lettuce. Like, lettuce. You know how you put lettuce on a cheeseburger?
That's right.
You got that kind of lettuce. Well, this is the wild kind.
So, that's tame lettuce?
Yes. What it is it's... I've been cutting them down for years. I didn't know what it was. But they can grow, like, 7 foot tall, and it's like a stalk. It's hollow in the middle. And the leaves kind of look like a water oak. Not a water oak. You know, the long, skinny oak tree? I guess it might be a water oak.
I think that is a water oak.
But, the leaves kind of look like that. But if you take that plant and you cut the leaves off and you cut the stalk off and you put it in a crock pot.
Now, this ain't the plant that comes up and makes that purple blossom.
No, that's a thistle.
That's poison.
Yeah. You don't
or it hurts like hell anyway.
Don't mess with that. This, it just grows, like, at the edge of my yard. It's all around my house. But when you cut all that up and put it in a crock pot and put some water in it, you boil, even when you pull a leaf off, it'll bleed, like, white stuff, like milk-looking stuff.
Yeah.
You boil all that down, and it's like a, looks like a real strong coffee color. And anytime you're in pain, you take a little sip, take a shot of it. Like, there's this
book.
Are you
trying to do some, like, into the wild stuff?
No, listen. There's a book that, and I can't remember the name of the book exactly, but it's like a old-timey survival book that tells, like, stuff that the Indians did and like, our ancestors did that was here in the 1700s, 1800s, or whenever we come over. You know, they didn't have what we have today.
Obviously.
They didn't have ibuprofen, Advil, Aleve, whatever, Pepto-Bismol. They had to find things
you imagine
to
tearing,
make things
you imagine
work.
Tearing your ACL in that time?
You'd be
worthless.
You did. I mean, you pretty much just a cripple. You can't walk. You can't. But I don't know if, I mean, we don't know exactly how much that happened back then.
Yeah, I mean, they were built for it.
They
right?
might have been more conditioned. And then you got to think about what we was talking about on the last episode with the genetics, you know, and how the further along we go, the worse genetics are getting. So. You're talking 200 years, that's a lot of genetics.
What are you and I talking about, like, the way our mouths have changed, mm-hmm. that, like, yep. having our wisdom teeth cut out, that
didn't used to be
yeah. natural, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what happens when your head gets smaller, the worse your genetics are.
So having a meathead's a good thing?
Yeah, I guess so. You're the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
There's a guy I work with, his head, he wears like a 10. And like the fitted hats, you know.
Holy hell!
Yeah,
I work like a 7 3/4.
He did the DNA thing or whatever, and it come back that he was like 95%, and it was some kind of caveman
Neanderthal.
Yes, it. Yeah, that's it.
Ain't we all?
No. I'm Welsh. 63%.
How the hell you come back 95% Neanderthal? I think he needs to do another test.
Well, it might not have been that high, but it was majority of that. And they said that that's the most they've seen. They sent him a special letter, said that's the most they've seen in anybody in his, I don't know.
Area
or whatever. And that there usually isn't that much percentage, that high percentage, whatever it was. I don't know what it was.
But, that's interesting.
He's a cool guy.
Neanderthal.
Yeah, big head.
God love him. But yeah, back to what you were, you know, going back to 1700s, 1800s, and so you're looking at this wild lettuce just for like home remedies.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was on YouTube just scrolling and it popped up wild lettuce and I was like, what is this? And it was some kind of, I can't remember the name of it. It was Matt something, survival or something like that. I don't know. But he was talking about it and it caught my eye because it had, you know how on YouTube the videos have a picture of something that's in the video. And it looked just like what I had been cutting down with a weed eater. And I was like, what is that? And I was like, click. And I washed it.
And went from there?
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried it? Does it work?
I haven't tried it yet. I have not. I got some. See, there's a certain time of year that it says, the guy said it's the strongest or whatever. And it's when it's about to bloom because it looks like weird at the bottom, but then at the top, it looks like two plants put together, pretty much.
Huh.
Like it looks like a different stemmed beast. And it's got little buds on it. I don't know what time of year that is. He didn't say. But I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
I thought about buying that book that I was telling you about, too, because that would, to me, I mean, be worth it.
Things like that are definitely worth it.
Not saying we'd ever have to use it, but just to know it. You know, to know that this is how people got to where they are.
Well, I mean, you know, people make fun of, like, doomsday preppers and, like, these peoples who have, you know, just say they have, like, a ridiculous amount of guns and ammunition, or if they have a safe, like, room in their home.
You probably know. Look at this. That's what it looks like.
Oh, yeah, I know that plant.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, like, you know, if you just took it and broke it, there's a lot of that. Yeah, it's got, I know that plant. Yeah.
See, I haven't tried it yet, but.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, everybody likes making fun of those type of people.
Yeah, but right? They'll be the ones living.
And they, you know, the first thing you want to know is, like, all this conspiracy theorists. It's like, really, like, just go back to, this is simple, is the toilet paper crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have it, even though there wasn't any at the store, we had some here.
Yeah.
Wasn't an issue. Why? Because we had some. Mm-hmm. We were prepared. But like, well, how the hell am I supposed to know that there's going to be a toilet paper crisis?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, why do you just let it run out? Well, I mean, that's something that you're going to need, you know? Stock up.
Yeah.
Same with food. I mean, what do you think about, like, just with, I mean, this pipeline stuff, it's going to have an impact on the economy. And, like, we're already, like, seeing same trends as what we saw in 2008 with Occupy Wall Street. With, I mean, there's going to be inflation followed by probably recession, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you do with the devaluation of a dollar?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, and everybody is like beginning to look at cryptocurrency, and even some people are going back to precious metals. Like, I know a lot of people who are buying gold, silver, and copper right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people who are investing in crypto, and I know a lot of people who are saving their money. And I think that's foolish because, like, it's just fiat.
Yeah.
Like, what's it backed by?
Nothing.
A gun? That's what it's backed by.
Yeah.
Industrial military complex.
Mm-hmm.
Petro, which leads to violence. It always leads to violence.
Yeah.
You know what fixes that? Bitcoin.
Yeah.
There's only 21 million in existence. And right now there's not that many. There's a cap. There's a set limit of how many can exist.
Yeah.
The value continues to increase. The value of lumber continues to increase. They pretty much coincide currently. What does that tell you about the actual fiat, the American dollar? If everything else is rising in value and it's not,
yeah,
that's not good. That's inflation.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious.
We're going to be like Germany was during World War II. The kids are going to have it banded up and just playing, building brick houses out of it.
Yeah, I remember seeing those pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Like, we're sitting here talking about, like, doomsday preppers. We're talking about, like, a failing economy.
Yeah.
Israel and Gaza's going at it.
You know, I heard, or I read something today. No, I was watching something as well. There was a meeting back in January. I can't remember exactly who it was between, but I'm pretty sure it was like UN kind of atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
A bunch of different countries. They had a meeting talking about putting, like, resetting the money.
Oh, the globalist.
Yeah.
That's who you're talking about.
Resetting the money.
Yeah, that's the build and back putting better. It to where did it can
all,
that?
And putting it to where it can be all one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they would go with a fiat because you can't control Bitcoin.
It's too easy to... Somebody find out a way to hack something.
A buddy of mine sent me this article the other day. It was talking about quantum computing could just rob everybody of their Bitcoin. No, you can't. Yeah, you don't know enough about it if you say something like that. And then someone say, well, if you shut down the internet, it wouldn't exist. That's not true either. It's in the satellites now. It's everywhere. You can't escape Bitcoin. Bitcoin is literally its existence is based upon itself now. It is not like people say that it's not real, that you can't hold it in your hand. Yes, you can. It's a real thing. It is digital, but like if you have a wallet, it's coded. You could walk through an airport butt naked, and if you know your code to your digital wallet that has your crypto, you could be walking around a billionaire butt ass naked.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a dollar. You don't have a thing on you.
Yeah.
Look homeless, billionaire. Crazy how that works. And like just saying that sounds funny, but I think that's the future. I don't know. I don't know what that'll look like with globalists, and I think we're moving that direction quickly. I don't know. Are you familiar with The Fourth Turning?
Mm-mm.
So it's a good book to check out. Specifically, if you can, just pull up chapter 6 and check that out. It kind of talks about what we went through last year. It talks about, it's just predictions. This book was written years ago, and it talks about like there'll be a worldwide virus, and it'll kill quite a few people.
Mm-hmm.
And that world leaders, it specifically focuses on the Anglo-Saxon and specifically focuses on United States history. And they say that there's four seasons over an 80-year period of time. And so the beginning of the season that we're in now, or the turning, was 1945. What happened then?
1945? Is that when Israel...
Something ended.
Oh, yeah. World War II.
And so you have... That's the spring. That is the awakening. And then 20 years pass, give or take. You move into summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's kind of fueled by summer is... It's kind of like the hippie era. It's hippies, right? You think about the 60s and going into the 70s with Woodstock and this movement of people. What was their tool of warfare? It was argument. Like there was a lot of arguments going on. And, you know, it was a lot for a lot of the rights that we enjoy today. It started right there.
Yeah.
And then you move into fall, which was around the time period that we were born. We were born in a crisis. And that is like, thank your millennials, your Gen Xers. What are we on now? What is Carly, a Gen Z?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So you have boomers who kicked it off, and then you have millennials. Was it, is Generation Y in there somewhere? Zennials or something?
I don't know.
Anyway, you have five generations involved. Well, the millennials and Gen Xers, they were both born in crisis. Think about everything that we've lived through. We had a terrorist attack, 9/11. 2008, we had a recession. We had Occupy Wall Street. And that's when we were entering the workforce. The economy was trash.
Yeah, gas.
And now we're going. Yeah, and now we're going, we're walking right back into that again. And but they say that 2025 to 2028, but most of the people who are into like the fourth turning are really into 2025, and that will be coming out of winter, and we'll start a brand new utopia. And that the millennials and the Gen Xers will lead the charge, and we'll be, you know, the millennials, they'll be going into their 50s and they'll be in, you know, early to late 40s. We'll be in our late 30s, early to late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be the people in leadership, and we'll kind of redesign this new world that we live in, because it's usually winter with these seasons. It ends with war and a lot of bloodshed.
Mm.
And I mean, look at what everything's popping off right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I was watching four or five videos a day of missiles hitting in towns. And
oh, yeah.
I read about how many people have been killed and how many innocent. There was a lot of innocent people. But I saw a video of, I think it was an Israeli army guy was fixing to throw a grenade at medics of the other side. And as soon as he went to throw the camera, like, turned to him, and he put the grenade down by his hand. I was like, wait a minute. Now, if he was fixing to throw that, it was probably ready to go. But I don't know how a grenade works. You pull the pin.
You pull the pin, but like, as long as you're
holding the thing, you're all right?
I guess. Okay. I've never had one.
I would like to have a box of them.
I'd like to throw one.
I'd go kill some turtles.
Oh, we'd have a fish fry some kind of... whatever's left.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, like, what do you think about like that fourth turn and like...
That's pretty interesting. I don't think I'm going to go read it.
And there's types of people. So like your boomers, just this turning, they're called nomads. They're just passing through. And then you have the next generation, which will be like your Zennial millennials. They are called the heroes. And then our generation, they're called the artist. And then the upcoming generation, Carly's generation, they are, and I'm blanking on that, I forgot what they're called. But it kind of makes sense, like if you look at how things went with the last turning,
yeah,
you can kind of see how things play out. And they say that history doesn't repeat itself, but I would say that it definitely rhymes.
Yeah, it does. What'd you say the name of the...
It's called The Fourth Turning.
The Fourth Turning.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta look it up.
Yeah, check it out. It's like I say, if you only read chapter 6, it would be very ominous to the year 2020 with everything that they predicted that came exactly true. Like, almost verbatim.
Yeah.
And these are just two history nerds that got together and like I said, they took Anglo-Saxon history... I think they go back all the way back to Etruscan, cover Roman, and like you can just follow the collapse. It happens every 80 years.
Yeah.
It's kind of like with Jeepers Creepers, like he only comes back so many years kind of thing.
23 years.
Yeah, whatever, you know.
23,
27,
something.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Check it out.
It's interesting. I will.
Anything else, dude?
I think I'm good, man.
All right.
All right.
Well, that's going to do it for us here.
All right. Y'all be good out there.
Peace out. News and notes. Thank you so much for listening to Porch Talk. If you haven't done so already, I would ask you to rate and review the show. Give it 5 stars on whatever podcast app it is that you listen to on. I am trying to get the YouTube page up to 100 subscribers so that we can live stream like we do for Untapped and Vinyl on Facebook. And I'm trying to do a whole lot more. I need your help. If you would just subscribe, you can look my name up. You can look Porch Talk up. It should lead you to the logo that you know, my face in neon. If you would do that for me, thank you. All right, so the music that you heard was Sipsy by Will Stewart. That was off his album County Seat. And we're going to close out the show with a little demo of a song of mine that was inspired by Will Stewart. It's called Far Away. Supertramp. Parenthetical. Here's the demo. Peace out.
Check, check.
In the same place I was last year, I was hell-bent on some saving grace. Fear became a virtue, and that took you away. Pressed in municipality, it never changes anything. And my heart grew cold, and you slipped away. Found some land that no one's on. I'm gonna build my house, tend the ground. I'll sow the truth, slowly fade to gray. And far away, I'm gonna be far. Like Super Tramp, I can't stay. Like Super Tramp, too weird to live, too strange to die. Far away. Far. Please don't look me up or build that pyre. I don't want no part of yesterday. And I found me a dog, he can sit and stay. We'll be far away. Far away.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.